Imagine a master painter, right? And they're trying to prove a breathtaking landscape is absolutely undeniably theirs.
Right. They want a signature nobody can fake.
Exactly. So they decide to intentionally paint, like, every fifth tree in the forest, this slightly unnatural radioactive shade of neon green.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And sure, if someone disputes the ownership later, the painter can just point to the neon trees and say, look, I did it. But in the process of proving ownership, they've totally ruined the painting.
Yeah, the underlying value of the art, the realism, the immersion, the whole reason you want to look at it in the first place, it's been compromised just to, satisfy a security requirement.
Which feels like a terrible trade-off. And that is exactly the mission of our deep dive today. We've got this brilliant new analyst report from Fred Cohen at Allnet, and he is sounding the alarm on a recent announcement from Anthropic.
Yeah, the AI company.
Right. They are trying to invisibly watermark their AI-generated text. And Cohen points out that by doing so, they're acting exactly like that painter.
Basically, actively destroying the meaning and like the precision of the words we read just to leave a digital fingerprint.
Exactly. And it's not just for engineers to care about,
Yeah.
It reveals this fascinating collision of priorities.
It really does. I mean, humans write to convey specific meaning, right? But AI companies are under this massive pressure to identify their outputs. So they're tweaking their models to prioritize leaving a traceable pattern over conveying that specific meaning.
Right, the pattern becomes the priority.
Yeah, and because language is so fragile, prioritizing a pattern just fundamentally distorts reality.
Okay, let's unpack this because the mechanics of how they are doing this are wild. Before we can look at why the text gets ruined, we have to look at the invisible paint they're using.
The steganography.
Right. The report talks about Anthropic using next word selection to leave a fingerprint. But how is that actually happening under the hood? Because I'm reading this and thinking, it's not like they're hiding invisible ink in the font,
No, they are manipulating the actual vocabulary. What's fascinating here is that it's a very modern, highly mathematical application of steganography.
Steganography, that's some hiding data in plain sight, right?
Exactly. It's an ancient practice. If I encrypt a message, I scramble it. It looks like gibberish until you have a decryption key.
Yeah.
But if I use steganography, I hide the fact that a secret message exists at all.
The text just looks completely normal to the naked eye.
Right. So to a human reading a corporate memo, it just looks like a slightly dry corporate memo. But to a scanner, there is a hidden code in there.
And to understand how that code gets embedded, we have to talk about how an LLM actually works, right? Because they don't have brains.
No, not at all. An LLM doesn't have a dictionary where it looks up definitions. It just maps words as data points in this massive, high-dimensional vector space.
So it's all just math.
All math. When you give it a prompt, it calculates a probability distribution for what the very next word should be. It assigns a percentage to thousands of possible next words based purely on statistical proximity in its training data.
Okay, so if the sentence is like the sky is, the model says blue has a 95% probability,
Right.
and maybe dark has a 4% probability, and cheese has a 0.0001% probability.
Precisely. And in a normal environment, the model generally selects from the very top of that probability list. It wants to give you the most likely, most fluent continuation of the thought.
But with the watermark, that changes.
Yeah, to create a steganographic watermark, the engineers introduce this secondary secret set of rules that completely hijacks that selection process.
The Allnet report breaks down one way this works using word lengths, which really helped it click for me. Because the model has its list of probable next words, right? But suddenly it has to satisfy a mathematical sequence, almost like dropping a barcode into the text.
Yeah, a barcode is a great way to think about it.
So let's say the secret sequence it needs to encode is a one. The engineers program the system so that choosing a longer synonym represents a one, a shorter synonym represents a zero, and a middle length synonym represents a dash.
Right, so instead of just picking the statistically best word, the model has to filter its options.
So if the best word is likely, but likely is too short to satisfy the one in the hidden barcode.
Then the model scans down its probability list for a longer synonym. It finds probable, it swaps likely for probable, and boom, successfully encodes the one.
Then it moves to the next word. It needs a zero, so it forces a short word. Then it needs a dash, so it forces a medium word.
Exactly. And to the software reading it later, that paragraph translates perfectly into a string of ones, zeros, and dashes.
Which is wild. And the genius of that engineering is its invisibility. The model is doing this millions of times a second, just constantly cross-referencing its probability distribution against the character count required by the algorithm.
Right, and with enough word selections throughout a document, that specific string of ones and zeros becomes statistically impossible for a human to have written by pure chance.
It becomes an undeniable, mathematically verifiable signature. Okay, mathematically, I see why they did it. It's brilliant. You can prove the text came from your server. But functionally?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at this and thinking, words aren't just numbers.
No, they definitely aren't.
You can't just swap a 5 for another 5 in language. If you force a math equation into a paragraph, you are going to break the sentences.
And this raises an important question about the difference between syntax and semantics.
Right.
The math equation only cares about syntax, the structure, the length of the word, its statistical proximity to other words. It does not care about semantics, which is the actual lived meaning of the word in a human context.
Because math is rigid, but language is fluid.
Exactly.
The report drops a Led Zeppelin reference here that perfectly captures this, quoting Stairway to Heaven, "Sometimes words have two meanings."
Such a good reference.
It is. And that is the trap here. Synonyms are almost never perfectly identical. They carry baggage, you know, tone, microscopic shifts in definition.
And large language models are completely blind to that baggage.
Yeah.
Because they only understand statistical proximity. They think any two words that frequently appear in similar contexts are totally interchangeable.
Right.
The author illustrates this beautifully with what we can call the bad lemon dilemma.
Wait, let's look at the actual list from the report, because it's kind of alarming if you rely on this tech for precise rating. The author asks the AI for synonyms for the word bad, and the AI correctly notes that the synonyms depend entirely on context.
Sure, which sounds smart at first.
Right. So for the category of poor quality, it gives awful, lousy, substandard. Fine. For harmful, it suggests dangerous, damaging. Also fine. But look at the rotten food category.
Oh, yeah?
The AI suggests spoiled, rancid, putrid, and sour.
Let's isolate that. Sour?
Yeah, stop right there, right?
Oh, ah.
Sour is not bad. If I'm writing a restaurant review and I want to say, this lemon tasted bad, meaning it was, you know, rotten and made me sick.
Right.
But the hidden watermark code dictates that for this specific moment in sequence, the AI must choose a middle length word. It can't choose bad because it's too short. It can't choose rancid because it's too long.
So it is mathematically forced to select sour.
So your sentence becomes, this lemon tasted sour.
Which completely rewrites reality.
Exactly. A lemon is supposed to taste sour. If it tastes bad, it's spoiled. Rancid is not putrid, and sour is definitely not spoiled. The AI just fundamentally changed the facts of my review just to satisfy a barcode.
Because the LLM doesn't actually know what a lemon is. It's never tasted one. It doesn't have a semantic ground truth for the concept of spoilage.
It just knows tokens.
Right. It only knows that in its massive training database, the token for lemon frequently appears in close proximity to the token for sour, and the token for food appears near bad.
So when the steganography forces a detour from the best word,
it just grabs the next available token that fits the length requirement, completely oblivious to the fact that it just altered the physical reality of the object you're describing.
Okay, I want to push back on this just a little, you know, to play devil's advocate.
Sure.
If I'm skimming a 50-page corporate memo about, like, Q3 supply chain logistics, does it really matter if it says likely versus probable? Or if it occasionally uses a slightly clunky synonym, aren't we just splitting hairs here?
I get why you'd ask that, but no. It is a systemic degradation of information, and it absolutely matters in a corporate memo.
Because it adds up.
Exactly. Okay. Because this isn't happening once per document. It's happening continuously. When you force a system to consistently choose statistically less accurate words, you compound the error rate. You aren't just swapping one innocent word for another. You are injecting noise into the signal. The author crafts a wonderfully cheeky sentence in the report to demonstrate how quickly this noise turns into absolute nonsense when pushed through these synonym algorithms.
Oh, I actually highlighted that sentence. Let me read it exactly as Cohen wrote it. Quote, "If you think this is hurtful as examples go, or sinful as a way to express the putrid nature of this sort of selection method, try to figure out what I really meant to say here."
Yeah, just listen to that. When you substitute emotionally loaded words like hurtful, sinful, and putrid into a highly technical sentence about software selection methods, the text doesn't just lose precision.
It sounds unhinged.
It really does. It becomes a word salad. And if that happens in a 50-page supply chain memo, you're going to have executives making million-dollar decisions based on warped facts and, frankly, hallucinatory tones.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because the report moves from theoretical lemons to a real-world high-stakes example.
Yeah.
The author talks about using an LLM to help draft a professional proposal.
And in the consulting world, proposals are legal minefields.
Oh, absolutely. Every single word dictates scope, deliverables, liability, all of it.
Right. So the author generated an initial draft using the AI. But because he understands the stakes, he went in manually and edited the text. He applied human judgment, adjusting the vocabulary to ensure the claims were legally and professionally precise.
So he did the hard work, but then he fed his edited version back into the AI and basically asked it to update the formatting or, you know, integrate the edits smoothly.
And the AI promptly scrubbed out his careful human precision and replaced his words with worse ones.
It actively downgraded the text. And the specific example the report highlights is just chilling for anyone who writes contracts.
Yeah, it really is.
The human author had carefully written the phrase. This almost certainly reflects a shared experience most LLM users. But when the AI rewrote it, it changed it to among LLM users. It just dropped the word most.
Changing most to among is a catastrophic loss of statistical meaning.
It changes everything. Most is a quantifiable claim. It means a majority. It means 50% plus one.
Right? Exactly.
If you put most in a proposal, you are making a definitive claim about a market. Among just means some indeterminate group. It could be 3 people. It could be 3 million people.
By swapping that one word, the AI completely altered the factual, verifiable claim being made in the document.
And when the author asked the AI to rewrite it again to fix the error, it just kept mutating the text further away from the truth.
Right. The phrase almost certainly was diluted to likely. His phrase clarity and precision was reduced to just precision.
It's like it's fighting him.
It is. The underlying mechanism of the AI, especially when hindered by watermarking constraints, it forces it to regress toward a bland, inaccurate mean. It actively fights against human specificity.
You know, it reminds me of dealing with a hyper-aggressive autocorrect on a smartphone.
Oh, yeah, that's a perfect analogy.
Right. You know, when you type a very specific, slightly colloquial phrase that perfectly captures your tone, and the phone autocorrects it to something intensely stiff and formal.
All the time.
It doesn't just change your spelling, it sanitizes your personality. It completely misses your point. Only in this case, it's not just ruining a text to your friend, it's stripping the contractual precision out of a business proposal.
Yeah. And building on that autocorrect analogy, the author actually compares this AI behavior to human copy editors.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He notes that human copy editors often try to change the meaning of his expressions to fit a style guide. But with a human, you can argue. You can reject the changes because you both share a fundamental understanding of semantics. You can say, no, I meant to say it this way because of X.
But you can't argue with the AI because this editing is happening invisibly. It's driven by a mathematical code trying to leave a barcode, not by a human trying to help you communicate.
The AI doesn't know it's ruining your proposal. It just knows it successfully printed a 1 instead of a 0.
Wow. And the author provides another fantastic example of the sanitization. He wrote a sentence explaining how reviewers evaluate competing proposals. He wrote, "It's the nits that differentiate the picks."
This is a great phrase.
Yeah.
It really is. It's punchy. It's memorable. It shows a deep understanding of the tedious reality of reviewing proposals.
But the AI couldn't handle the idiom at all. When asked to rewrite, it sanitized that phrase into, wait for it.
Mm-hmm.
Reviewers often have to distinguish between nearly equivalent alternatives. And it's precisely those seemingly minor details that can ultimately determine the choice.
It is so incredibly dry. It reads like an instruction manual for a toaster.
It completely loses the human element. And while the author jokes about the AI sucking the joy out of life, the broader implication is severe.
How so?
Well, if we allow algorithms to systematically replace human idioms, specific statistical claims, and nuanced vocabulary with mathematically mandated synonyms, we are basically flattening our entire ability to communicate complex thought.
Okay, so what does this all mean for you listening to this right now? We've gone from invisible barcodes to sour lemons to the destruction of professional proposals.
We've covered a lot.
The report distills this entire technical debate down into 3 main conclusions about why steganographic watermarking is a fundamentally broken strategy. The first one we've covered deeply. It changes the meaning of the text. It alters reality.
Right. And the second conclusion highlights the ultimate irony of the AI industry.
Which is?
This watermarking strategy directly counters the primary goal of the companies building these tools. Their entire marketing pitch is that these models can produce natural, fluent, human-like reasoning and text.
Yeah, that's the whole selling point.
But by forcing the model to use bizarre, out-of-context synonyms just to satisfy a hidden security code, they are artificially making the text sound robotic and unhinged. They are sabotaging their own product's quality.
And the third conclusion from the report is the absolute kicker, and it's the thing that makes this entire trade-off feel so pointless. The author points out that this watermark is likely trivial to bypass anyway, especially for short texts.
This is a crucial point. We are talking about destroying the meaning and precision of our language to install a security lock that can be picked in 5 seconds.
Let's actually look at how easily that lock gets picked, because the mechanics of the bypass are fascinating. If Anthropic builds this elaborate, invisible vector space barcode into a paragraph, all I have to do is copy that paragraph, open a completely different open source AI model on my laptop.
One that doesn't have watermarking.
Exactly. And I just prompt it, paraphrase this text.
And that's it. The second model strips the text down to its core concepts and rebuilds it using its own unconstrained probability distribution. The mathematical sequence of the watermark is instantly destroyed, but the general information remains.
Or you can use a translation attack, which I thought was so clever. You take the watermarked English text, run it through a standard translator into French, and then translate it back into English.
Which relies entirely on finding semantic equivalents in different languages.
Right. It doesn't care about the English character count. When it comes back to English, the words are different, the sequence is shattered, and the watermark is totally gone.
You can even use simple scripts to randomly swap words with their own synonyms, introducing enough noise to corrupt the barcode. Because the steganography requires a pristine, uninterrupted sequence to be statistically verifiable.
Any human editing, any aggressive paraphrasing.
Or any algorithmic noise. Yeah, it breaks the chain.
So to go back to our master painter, they painted every fifth tree neon green to prove it was their painting. But anyone who wants to steal the painting can just throw a bucket of water over the canvas, blur the neon green into the background, and walk away with it anyway.
The security measure only punishes the people who actually want to look at the pristine art.
Yeah.
It does absolutely nothing to stop a determined thief.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it fundamentally changes how you must interact with digital text moving forward. When you are reading a report, evaluating a vendor proposal, or analyzing a contract, remember the author's exact words. It is the nits that determine the choice.
Yes. The minor details, the specific word choices, the difference between most and among, that is where the actual legal and professional value lies.
And the AI doesn't understand those nits. It only understands statistical patterns and hidden security codes. So if you rely on it blindly to draft your documents, or if you trust an AI-generated summary of a crucial meeting,
you are surrendering your precision. You are letting an algorithm swap your facts for noise without you ever realizing it.
We have to maintain intense critical literacy here. We cannot assume that a polished, grammatically flawless sentence generated by an LLM is actually conveying the truth or even maintaining the intended meaning of your original prompt.
This whole watermarking debate pulls back the curtain and clarifies, to a massive extent, the absolute lack of semantic understanding inside these models. They really don't know what they're saying.
We've covered a massive amount of ground today. We started with the invisible vectors mapping our vocabulary, navigated the linguistic trap of the sour lemon, and looked at how forced synonyms destroy the contractual precision of professional writing.
All for a security lock that can be bypassed by translating a paragraph into French.
Exactly. Before we wrap up, I want to leave you with a final thought to consider. It's something that builds on this entire dilemma of AI and language, and it's kind of profound.
Yeah. We know the AI is actively altering its language to satisfy hidden mathematical codes. It is learning to speak differently. But what happens to us?
That's the real question.
If these watermarked, slightly off, synonym-swapped writing patterns become the dominant form of text on the internet, if this becomes the primary reading material for the next generation, will human language eventually adapt to mimic the AI? Right. Years from now, will we find ourselves speaking in bizarre, mathematically generated synonym patterns, calling spoiled food sour, and using among when we mean most, simply because our own brains have been trained by reading billions of words of watermarked content? Will we eventually become the ones imitating the machine?
That is a deeply unsettling and incredibly fascinating thought to end on. If the watermark changes the text and the text changes us, who is really writing the code? Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. The next time you are reading a crucial email or reviewing a high-stakes proposal, remember to look closely at the words. Keep questioning the text in front of you and protect your precision. Until next time.